That's when it really counts. How we behave, how we turn up, what values we carry, and how we think. That is what leadership is about. Leadership is about bringing values in turmoil. In all of those plethora of ideas across your world. And that is why this is such a significant, important passage for us at the moment. Because I believe it is a plumb line for us, as a church, as individuals, how to behave in a world that is faced by tremendous conflict and trauma. Because that's what we're in, isn't it?
Yeah.
So now we're going to get some ideas from Scripture. And what's even more wonderful for me than Scripture is just a bunch of people trying to work it out. Just a bunch like us trying to work out what to do. So let's look at the next slide. So this is a heated debate. Goodness sake, they're Jewish. It's going to be heated, isn't it? You can imagine it. You can imagine all the energy in the room. And what the debate is really about is the Gentile church. It's about us, and it's about us joining them.
Yeah.
That's what it's really about. Yeah. It's about, do you know what it's really about? It's about, can we join?
Yeah.
Can we join? Can we be part of this? Yes or no? This is what the debate is taking place. And those in power, some of those in power, want to control and keep us out. And they want the status quo to stay as it is. They don't want to change. And there are three overwhelming things that shift the debate. Three things that shift the debate. First of all, it is the power of testimony. It is the power of changed lives that shifts the debate. Secondly, it is a move of the Holy Spirit for the first time amongst a new people group that shifts the debate. And finally, it's actually prophecy from Scripture. Those are the three big things that you're going to see. And what this means is that rather than being stuck in here, just around here, and that is it, boys, that is the world, Jerusalem, that's about it, the Jewish world, rather than that, this happens. Isn't that incredible? Look where it goes. Rome. Look at these places. All through here. Wow. Turkey. Asia Minor. Greece. Italy. Wow. And that's just the first bit. Because the good news is this goes global.
Yeah.
This is what was being fought for. What was being fought for is you. And I being in this room. And there's a group of people who want to make that very difficult. And they are the religious order of the day. They want things kept as they are. They want the systems to stay as they are. Because it suits them really, really well. Because power sits with them. And into this come two incredibly brave men called Paul and Silas. And basically what they say is, stuff it. Stuff that. Because we've seen something. So let's look at the next bit and see what they saw. This is what they say. God knows people's hearts, and he confirms that he accepts the Gentiles by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us.
Yeah.
The defining thought is this. You may believe this. Whatever you believe, whatever you think about the Jewish church and the church then Jewish, sorry boys, there's a problem in town because the Holy Spirit's fallen on the Gentiles. He's ignored you. He's ignored your great ideas about leadership structure and the scale of church. He's ignored a whole lot. The Holy Spirit has just landed.
Yeah.
An inclusive God has landed and said, your boundaries are too small, your thinking is too small, For I have come in my spirit, and I will go where I will go, and don't stop me. I'm going to go where I will go. They made no distinction between us and them. No distinction whatsoever. How many times do we place distinctions on those who aren't within our community? Here's the challenge. God sees all of humanity as one, with no distinctions. Sexuality, gender, age, colour, creed, he's just not interested. He just isn't interested. Because the Holy Spirit will handle them all. So why are you challenging God? Listen. So why are you now challenging God?
Yeah.
You're challenging God. You're taking on God. You're not taking on scripture, religious orders. No, 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 no. You're challenging God. Burning the Gentiles of believers with a yoke that they don't need. The world out there does not need to know it's in sin. It feels condemned. In its inner conscience, much of the time. People feel, I'm not holy enough, I'm not good enough, I don't care enough. They are aware, they know that their marriages might not be working, their friendships are working. They don't need us telling them they're not doing very well. What they need us telling them is there's a Holy Spirit here to help them.
Yeah.
And to love them, and to extend grace and compassion to them. That's what this is about. That grace and compassion overcomes law and order and religious systems. That's what this is about. That's what this is about. It's about taking off a yoke, not putting on a yoke.
Yeah.
That's why we believe in inclusion in this church.
Yeah.
We believe they were all saved the same way. We understand by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone listened. I love this. Everyone listened quietly. This is a Jewish assembly listening quietly. I'd like to pay to have seen that. These are not anti-Semitic comments. I love the excitement, the energy of the Jewish mind and what they think, don't you? I love it when you see anything. You know, we were watching the Amy Whitehouse sing last night, which is extremely disturbing but beautifully wonderful. There's another Jewish thing, but all together celebrating as a party, and it's just like, it's just nuts. It's great. Good film, by the way. Everyone listened quietly as Barnabas and Paul told them about what? The miraculous signs and the wonders of God as they travelled through the country and they went up to sort out this issue because they were sent by the church to go and sort this out because people were preaching this rubbish. And so they were sent right out downtown to York to get this sorted. And when they had said this, James, by the way, you'll see in a minute, who was kind of the pastoral leader of the church in Jerusalem, but wasn't one of the 12, by the way, so didn't get into the Holy Apostolic Club, by the way. All right? He was just the guy there, and we're going to see this in a minute, the levels of leadership that took part in this debate. He stands up and says this. Brothers, listen to me. I don't know, I just had the feeling, he went, just listen to me. Peter has told you about the time for the Gentiles, blah, 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 blah. And the conversion of the Gentiles is exactly what the prophets predicted. And where it's taken straight to is, I guess I'm gone fast laughing, taking me straight to Isaiah. Straight to the prophecy around the tent and the cords of the tent being enlarged. He's taking straight to that. Straight to that. He's referring back to that. He's referring back to prophetic scripture that is saying, one day this thing that's happening in our country will go out through all the nations. It's there in Isaiah. And this is what he's referring to. So he's reaching back into Scripture, the context of Scripture, and saying, actually, that prophetic word is coming in now. So he's speaking in a prophetic way into this situation, saying, this is the now moment for the tents to be enlarged. Okay? The prophetic is guiding us through Scripture. Okay? So you have the Holy Spirit, we have the prophetic guiding us through Scripture. Do we need the prophetic now?
Yes.
Do we need it guiding us?
Yeah.
I've got some great news for you. We win.
Yeah.
God's order wins. Just sit with that for a moment. God's order wins. God's order wins. Wow. So let's go to the next slide, please. So who were these decision makers? How were these decisions made? Who was involved in making decisions to actually send these guys off and to sort out this theological mess? Well, there was James, as I mentioned. There was the Jerusalem Council. The Jerusalem Council was principally two groups of people. It was a group of apostles, and it was a group of pastoral leaders. But do you know what also was in there? The church community. The witness of the church. And so later on, it seemed good to us and to the Holy Spirit. The us he's referring to is the community. Leadership in decision making is not left with a few in this model. In this model, leadership decisions involve everybody. Bear in mind, what this is being matched against is what I would call an emperor model. Yeah? We are in Roman culture with an emperor model. There's a big guy at the top, and the big guy at the top makes all the decisions. Here's the not so good news. Quite a lot of that goes on in church. We've just seen in the last 2-3 weeks as announcements being made about Pilavachi. That's exactly what was going on in that system. There was an emperor, and the emperor couldn't be challenged. There are many churches where there are emperors, and they're just not challenged, and it is not biblical. It's not a biblical way to lead. It's just not biblical. This is biblical leadership. Okay? This is really important. Because this affects how we decide, how we govern, how we work together, and how we honour one another. Whenever you're an emperor, in the end, he falls. Because Christ is the father of the church. Not apostles, church leaders, anybody. Christ is the head of the church. So here's the model. The model is actually what's called a presbytery. It is a group of people together forming discussion through debate, through conversation, etc., etc., and including the community in that decision. At the same time, bringing clear leadership. This is what this is all about. It's the strength, the paradigm of holding those two things in tension, where you bring leadership and at the same time you are accountable. I can remember a point in our history when I was leading this group of churches just before the Toronto revival came, in about 1993, therefore. And Bullen walks in the room again and has his latest, greatest idea. And Bullen goes and throws in another idea again, which is, come on now, what we're going to do now is we're going to pivot what we've done and everything, and we're going to go for, really going for the power of the Holy Spirit. I've seen prophetically, it's what we're going for. And there was just this overwhelming silence in the room, which basically said no. And they were right. They were right. But I'd seen something. In part. But they've seen the bigger picture. Which we needed to wait. And of course, when we waited, to answer, okay. No emperor. More of an orchestra. More of a conductor. What I love about the way they lead is they are like, I speak over you, you are conductors. So what you do is this. You are the orchestra. You might be the strings. You might be percussion. You might be, I don't know who else is in an orchestra. That's a bit rude. You're the wind. Is that good? I'm not so sure. I think I did quite well to start where I started.
Like the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, you're the Holy Spirit. Oh, there you go, Phil.
Yeah. Good theological comment.
Great theological comment. I remember that next time someone said I'm a lot of wind. It's just the Holy Spirit. Really?
Move on.
Quickly. Don't get the boat in the joke. There's been a model leadership in this community which is more about the orchestra than the emperor.
Yeah.
Because what the conductor does empowers the musicians to play the song of God through the ends of the earth and to impact more lives. And that's why I don't believe in emperors. I believe in orchestras. And I believe that all of you can sing things I can't sing and do things I can't do. But together I believe we make a beautiful noise to this planet and we actually touch far more people. This is what this debate is about.
Yeah.
And these are great models for leadership. The empowerment of others is a wonderful model for leadership. Yet bringing clear clarity and knowing when to bring people in and when to give them their part to play. Is wonderful. It's a beautiful way to lead. Shall I tell you why? Because a lot of emperors end up getting executed. And when you're the conductor, you don't. You just lay down your baton and you hand it to somebody else. This is what we are fighting for in our society at the moment, is this. There are too many emperors on our planet at the moment.
Yeah.
Too many dictators. So the church has to model something different around how to lead. And it's about this.
Yeah.
It's around collaborative leadership. It's about honouring one another, loving each other. It's around leading for humanity, not for one's own desires or wants. Not for the needs of the emperor, but for the needs of the world.
Yeah.
This is what's being fought for. Aren't you proud of the apostles? Aren't you proud of the early church? What an incredible group of men and women that were so unbelievably courageous in a time when basically they were under occupation. Are we going to be that? Are we going to model accountability to one another? Are we going to model deep listening? Do we talk together about our decisions? Do we involve each other in our decisions as communities? Or do we live on our own in little pieces? This man has modeled to us how to live in community. That's why he feels so loved at the moment. Because he's found his community. And he's found his place in it. There's a whole group of people out there that just want to find their place. They just want to find their purpose. They just want to find where they can contribute and do something and bring something into this world. And this is a place where they can come and their character can be grown and they can be developed so they can go and do that. And they can go out there and have another wave of impact of the power of God across the planet. That's what this is about.
Yeah.
Next slide. What do they do? What's the process? I put this in twice at the top deliberately. It's not a typo. They debated, they discussed. They prayed. They reflected. Then they empowered and they sent. What a wonderful model for leadership. Talk it through. Have a good old chat about it. Work out what you want to do. Get on your knees. Pray. Reflect. Think about it. Empower and go. What a great way of releasing leaders. In whatever structure they're in. Because there is no sacred sector divide. So this affects companies. This affects charities. This affects everything. It's a great way of leading. And this are the first steps of building an international church. That's how they did it. And then finally, last slide. Culture is how you have to behave to get on around here. So how are we going to behave? This is Patrick's learning, and he's a Christian, if that helps him. So how are we going to behave? How are we going to relate together and build together and do these things together? And what's going to drive our culture is the next slide. It's the last one. These are our values. They were non-religious. They were missional. They were inclusive and they were charismatic. All four of those values just goes right through this whole process. I'd like to suggest that these are pretty important at the moment. Otherwise, me and my team wasted quite a lot of time doing this. And I honour my friend Lindsay in helping us to get there, some of this stuff.
Amen.
And he's on a great journey. So here's your path. Here's your road. Here's your summit. Here's your desire to serve Christ, to see his kingdom come. And you're on that path. And the question is, will you carry this? Will this be what you carry? Will this be what determines that you make this journey? Because at times it's going to be hard, and at times it's going to be tough, and it's men and women working together. And I like the fact the woman's in front, by the way. It's non-religious, it's missional, it's inclusive, and it's charismatic. So here's my final thought. Who are the people you want to be missional to? Who are the people that you want to touch for the sake of his kingdom? Who are they? And may I suggest that as you go and you seek them out, and as you go and love on them, and as you go and care of them, may I suggest that first of all, you go like that. May I suggest also that you're clear about why you're going? That you're really clear that part of what you're doing is simply to lead them to Christ. May I suggest that you don't make arbitrary decisions about who is in and who is out, but you realise the scale of the nature of God's loving heart, that nobody's learned the gospel, but nobody. And I finally suggest that in courage and in humility, you operate in the power of the Holy Spirit. And you start laying your hands on people and praying for them and speaking into their lives and loving them and just bringing what big, big difference that we have, which is we are little Christians. We are the Christ, the Holy Spirit is inside of us. So why don't we try that? Should we pray?